Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to Thursday's episode of a Terra Scottish Football Podcast. I am Craig Fowler, and I'm joined by Duncan Mackay.
Hello.
And Gary Cocker.
Good evening.
Now, this is the last day before the transfer window, but because there's stuff happening right now, there's going to stuff happen tomorrow, it's going to be out of date very quickly, we can't really do stuff based on that.
I mean, we could, but it would be an absolute shambles.
Yeah, probably.
And we'd look very
and
stupid.
And a waste of your time.
Yeah.
So instead, we're going to do stuff around about transfers, but stuff that's maybe going to have a little more kind of hang time, a little more staying power, and that is look at players who will still be available for some sort of future transfer, even after the window shuts, and that's players on expiring contracts. So we've set about making a team of the best players on expiring contracts. Now, I've just put together a team of the best. Have you guys done the same?
I've done sort of the best.
Like sort of the best.
Some of the best, as in from one from each team. Because otherwise right. It would be ridiculous. Like, you know, it wouldn't be ridiculous, actually. But
It's not, actually. I think I've covered most of the teams here.
There's a lot of shit out there that's available for...
That sounded like a bit of a lethargic Rangers PR pitch. Instead of simply the best, what about just sort of the best?
Sort of the best.
Better than most of the rest. I have got two teams, so I have one... which I think is the best players available.
Let's just go for the best available. We can have an argument over who's who.
Okay.
So Duncan, sorry, but you've fucked it.
I listen to instruction at the best of times. So I mean, I really want to talk through my innovative 3-5-1-1 system.
Oh God, I've got 4-4-2, Gary.
4-4-2.
Good. Right, you're 4-4-2 now as well.
You can kind of make that work.
Reposition.
No, you can't really. How are you getting 4-4-2 out? There's no good centre half.
No, there's not.
You've got three.
No, basically in the right back and the left back.
Okay. Right.
This team doesn't have to make sense.
No, clearly. Right, we're getting goals. Who's your goalkeeper, Gary?
This was actually quite a difficult one.
Yes.
Because there's quite a few good goalies, and it depends.
I thought, I got to goalkeeper, then I got to right back, and I was thinking, this team's going to be really good.
And then it fell apart.
And then no.
So I have gone with Craig Gordon of Celtic.
Okay.
Assuming that this team that I'm pulling together is not one, you know, this is not a sort of a legacy project team. So if it was, I might have, say, put in Vaclav Hladký.
He was my keeper. He was my choice.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Hladký's better than Gordon?
Maybe. Like, I know that's not great audio, but like...
to take that long to think about it, saying maybe.
Yeah. There's more potential. Most Scottish clubs sign on potential as opposed to what is... what you're going to get.
So you think Gordon's better than Hladke right now?
Probably. If I had, like, you know, again,
I think it's quite tough because Gordon's not played really. In
Depends how you want. Again, it depends how you want to play. Like, if you want to do a Stendhal game, then a guy who loves to poleaxe people 40 yards from the goal, then maybe not. Maybe Craig Gordon's not for you.
But... He's never been sent off, didn't
he? Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I went for Gordon. I think there were quite a few goalkeepers you could have chosen. You mentioned Hladke. There was at least...
Thomas Czerny still kicking about.
Well, that pick was Mark Gillespie.
Yeah.
If I think back, Celtic wanted to sign Trevor Carson before he came down with deep vein thrombosis. And I think Gillespie's better than Carson. And I think they're both better than Scott Bain. So I think it would stand to reason that they are actually, that Mark Gillespie could actually be better than Craig Gordon. I think Hearts should... let's talk about Hearts wanting Gordon. I think it'd be great if Hearts got Gillespie. He's out of contract.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Or Vladke.
I think he's stated that he doesn't want to stay in Scotland.
But I'm right in thinking that Carson recently signed a new deal with Motherwell.
He might
despite
done.
The fact Gillespie's that he's not. Technically... Well, but that's what I mean is that... You know, Motherwell already know that they've got Carson signed up for
at least
next year.
Yeah, I think he did sign a new one, didn't he?
So, it's out there. One other goalkeeper that I have... So, I've done a second 11, which is not totally different players.
We'll just get to this at the end.
Okay,
okay,
okay.
Right, let's move on to right back.
I love the fact that none of us have done this. Neither have,
we've all taken different... Well, it means that the people at home can take their own approach as well.
I've got a player that could sign for each club as well.
Right back, Stephen O'Donnell. Scotland's Stephen O'Donnell.
Yep, Stephen O'Donnell. He's a clear winner.
Not for me, because I was doing this for one person, and so I went with Aaron McGowan from Aggies.
But if you were really picking the best right back.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's a few. There's McGowan, Richard Tate, Marcus Fraser, Paul McGinn, who are all in the kind of second tier, below O'Donnell in terms of quality.
Yeah.
What do you think about the Paul McGinn signing? Duncan, which looks like it's going to happen. Having agreed a five-figure fee.
Five figures is...
Could be 10,000, could be 99,000.
I'm glad to see that we're using Ron Gordon's money wisely.
I think Paul McGinn's decent.
I think he's decent. Do I want to be spending money on Paul McGinn? Not so much.
He's keeping it in the family, though.
What's that? We've probably got t-shirts. We've probably got McGinn's t-shirts to sell somewhere.
Is it possible that you're just signing Paul McGinn so that John McGinn can come watch more games and Hibs' social media output can talk more about John McGinn?
Me and Tony were talking about this on Tuesday at the Dundee United game, and we were saying we essentially are signing him in the hope that he scores in the derby on the third, and then we can bring back the John McGinn song. I mean, that's essentially it. Like,
okay, who's your left back?
I have done what Neil Lennon's done, and I've decided that Johnny Hayes can function as a left back.
Done as well.
Because this is an attacking team. This is a team with...
Well, I've got Johnny Hayes, but I don't have him at left back. My left back is Andy Halliday.
Ooh. Intriguing. Tell us more.
I think Halliday...
Do you genuinely think he's the best left back?
As opposed to who?
Johnny Hayes.
But I've got Hayes further forward.
But he's just... So Hayes can cover for his... He's going to have to work twice as hard.
I think Andy Halliday, he's kind of... Well, he's fallen away this season.
He's much maligned, doesn't he?
He's fallen away this season because Borna Barisic is undoubtedly Rangers' left-back now and plays just about every game.
So, and undoubtedly a better player than
Andy Halliday. Yeah, he's done that, but he's not on an expiring contract.
Pointless. No, but you're making it seem like, oh, it's just because Barisic has been playing quite well. No,
well, that is why, because last season Halliday played a reasonable amount of games and I think outperformed John Flanagan in the position, and I think even last season looked better than Barisic for a lot of games. Barisic has clearly emerged this season and is definitely the better player, but I don't think Halliday's that bad. I think he's been a little unlucky this year that the guy who's taken his place in the team, who previously looked shit, has actually been Rangers, one of their, I don't know, three or four best players this
season. He's managed to improve to the extent that he's getting touted for a move to Roma.
Yeah.
So...
And I think Andy Halliday is much maligned. He's a decent enough player. He's not brilliant, but I mean, he's probably not going to be the worst player on this team for me. In fact, he's definitely not.
He is quite funny too, to piss out.
Yes, but I'm not going to let that cloud my judgment. Yeah. You clearly have.
Yeah, of course.
Centre back. No, you're picking two. I'm making you pick two.
I'll go Charles Dunn.
Dunn and
no, on his own. I don't know. I'll see you. I'll hear.
Okay.
We're making you pick a 4-4-2, Duncan. Just fucking do it.
I've spent a lot of time on this.
I'll give you my centre back pairing. So I've gone with. I was about to say Paul Hartley, Peter Hartley.
I've got Peter Hartley.
Motherwell. The other one's a wee bit more out there. As you mentioned, there's a bit of a dearth of centre backs out of contract. Yes. So I've picked someone who I think, along with Hartley, can just basically assault any strikers that they're coming up against. So I've gone with Alexander Gogic.
Oh yeah, of course. I don't hate it. I do hate it. I don't like Gogic as a centre half. I think he's better in midfield, although I don't actually have him in my midfield.
So you don't like him that much?
But, no, but I like the other midfielders better.
Yeah.
My other centre half is Ricky Livingston.
Yeah.
Versatile as well. Backups, Clevin Dikemona, Charles Dunn.
Yeah.
But Peter Hartley's definitely a better centre half than Charles Dunn.
Yeah. Dikemona was the other one that I was thinking of, but I was just thinking, if I was a manager, I was like, he's not had that much game time lately. I mean, that's actually going to totally contradict who I've got at right mid, but never mind.
I think Dikemona gets a bit of a rough time. People assume he's a bomb scare, and he does have his moments, but he's not really been that fault for many goals in the Hearts jersey. Like, compared to Christoph Berra. I said Dikemona has these moments where he fucks up, but it never actually seems to lead to a goal. Everything better fucked up, it was a goal.
Which is a talent in itself.
Yeah. Right, so Duncan, who's your second centre-half?
Oh, well, or your utility midfield player who's going to get shunted back there.
not any of the three midfielders have got listed. This involves a huge rebuilding of my squad.
Just pick one of the names we said. Gary McKenzie's also available.
Let's have a Motherwell partnership then, a Hartley.
Hartley. Not the most ball playing centre-half, but you got more of that in team.
That's what my entire midfield is.
Right, okay, fair enough.
Duncan seems in the relegation battle.
This is not built for comfort.
Right midfield.
Now, Chris Burke.
Yeah, I've got Chris Burke.
Burke was the obvious one. The only other one I was going to throw out there just for a bit of conversation was Dre Wright at St Johnstone.
Yeah.
He's obviously had bad luck with injuries.
I don't think he's been as good this season. I don't think he's been as good since he came back.
I've got him playing behind my striker.
On a winger, you're playing as a...
Is he the one
that...
I can't wait to see how this lines up.
Because I'm going to see him interchange with my left midfielder. So that's my plan. I thought about this team far too much and then lost a run of myself.
So...
Chris Park, he's a bit selfie.
He got 6 assists in a game. Like,
yeah.
You can't...
It's against Queen's Park, but yeah.
You can only beat what's in front of you.
Yeah, he got... what did they score against Hearts? Was it a hat-trick? Or was it... Scored 2 and set up 1? So he's still showing that he's got it this season. Probably one of Kelly's better attackers this campaign.
He looks much better now without being bald as well, I thought.
Yeah, he's one of the guys that kind of suits it. He looked weirder with the blonde hair.
He's growing his hair back now, though. He's not bald.
Was it not?
No, was he not? I'm pretty sure was I watching the wrong highlights then.
I don't know. I didn't see the highlights of the Queen's Park game.
You're getting mixed up with the Curran Cup.
Right, left midfield. I've got Johnny Hayes here, as I've already mentioned.
I've got Stephen Lawless.
Him and Dre Wright will be like...
That's rubbish. Sounds rubbish.
I mean, it's not a great team. There's a reason why these guys have not got contracts for next season.
Lawless has been decent enough for Livingston. He's been better for them than he was at Park Thistle.
Yeah, but wait till you hear what I've got in the what I've got anchored my midfield in the middle, like the three.
And I have to say, I quite like you didn't like my left-sided defender. I quite like the left side of my team. I've got Andy Halliday, got Johnny Hayes.
Hands across the divide.
There's going to be some overlapping going on there, and
or brawling,
tucking back as well. Johnny Hayes, you go this time, Andy.
Or they're just going to fight and be scuffling around at the corner flag.
Johnny Hayes was my suggestion for who out of all the out of player contracts Rangers should sign.
Well, right, centre midfielders.
I have gone.
These were a decent group of these without anybody being brilliant.
There were a lot of different pairings that you could have gone with, depending on what you were looking for. I have just gone with Gary Dicker, who I'm assuming is in. Your teams as well, awful Duncan's.
No, because I had Chris Burke. So I was
you were working on totally arbitrary rules. Cool.
Yeah.
So I've got Dicker and I've gone with Slivka. from Hibs as well.
Yeah.
I knew that you would have Slivka. So
my midfield the three is Vykintas, Slivka, Jason Holt, and Frank Ross.
That's fucking horrible. Frank Ross.
Frank.
Have you seen who Aberdeen have got? They've got no one decent coming out of contract.
Pick Cherny.
No, I've got Vladke. I want a good keeper. This team's gonna.
You could have picked Ryan Flynn though. That'd be better. If you had Thomas Cherny in goals and Ryan Flynn midfield, that's better. Then Hladke and Frank Ross.
I think Frank Ross is going to come on to a good game. He's got
you
a lot
could pick Frank Ross out of a lineup.
I know I did that because I googled him today. Because originally I thought he was a striker.
I thought he was a wide midfielder.
No, he's a midfielder.
Okay.
But yeah.
I just told you it's Megan.
What a team. Right, I've gone for Ryan Flynn, who's been very good this season. Mm-hmm. Kind of as a deeper, originally thought of as a kind of winger. And started on the wing when he went to Sittman, but was shit. And they've kind of turned him into a deep line kind of midfielder, and he's very good there. So, and he could be the legs for Dicker, who, from kind of recent killer reports, have been struggling a little in the centre of the park because they've tried to go with a two. And now, at the age of, I think he's 33, he maybe doesn't quite have the pace to struggle with kind of balls in behind him and kind of chasing the action. So, if they two just sit. I've got plenty of attacking options down the width. We're just going to be all getting balls in the box.
As you said, there's a lot of other options there. I see that one of the ones that you had as a backup was Murray Davidson.
Yes.
Surely he's broken beyond words now.
I could go with a three-man midfield here and go with Gary Dicker sitting, Murray Davidson and Mohamed El Makrini.
Don't hate it.
Just a body, absolutely. I mean, nobody would be safe in that midfield. They'd just be kicking everybody. It'd be great.
You could also have a Lewis Spence and Ross Callaghan pairing if you felt like it.
No, this team is bad enough.
You could have Liam Craig in there as well. No?
No.
No, okay. Never mind. Yep, I've got a horrible feeling that my midfield might get a little bit overrun, but I'm all right with that.
Okay.
Because it's all about attacking from the front.
Okay.
And I've got Chris Long.
I've got Chris Long as well.
But I've also gone with Mikel Miller.
Ah, right. See, I see
that you've gone with.
Yeah, I'm kind of seeing Mikel Miller as a winger now, so he's my backup to Johnny Hayes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've gone for another Aki's player, I've gone for Steve Davies, who I thought Gary might have went for since he's a close personal friend of
Fran McGowan, because I've had chatted to him.
I did think about going with Steve Davies because you could see that he would be that sort of tent pole up at the top.
Yep.
Who would get the ball.
And like I was saying, my team's all about the crosses. So basically be aiming at his head or girth to knock down for Chris Long.
Yeah. But he does take the squad number 8 though, which I don't really approve of.
I know you should have pulled him up on that.
I really should have. Never mind.
I've always wondered, and I'm going to ask this if I get an opportunity next time at football, when it's like a decision between like minimal amounts of money difference and like probably in the same town or region or whatever, does training kit come into it? Like, would you sign with a team just because they've got Nike as opposed to, like, Admiral? I always thought that, but maybe that's just me. Like, would it not make a difference?
I mean, it might. Like, if you're really arbitrary about these things.
Yeah, I just thought when I was watching Shrewsbury Liverpool the other day, I was like, I can't imagine going into every day having to wear fucking Admiral.
Or like, Area.
Yeah.
I don't think I would care.
I'm going to find the footballers that do.
But no, I mean, I could picture, you know, Gray Wright, Stephen Lawless, Mikel Miller, you know, just...
Good team's rubbish.
But the whole point is, as Duncan said earlier, these are all guys who are out of contract.
For a reason. And that is why my forward is a man who's just been loaned today to League One. Stephen McLean. There weren't that many options at once. Like, this is the problem is when you start to just do one from each team. And then,
you didn't have to do that. You weren't supposed to do that.
Well, yeah, it served me right for not reading my text properly, but it'd be a stressful day.
Right, I think we can agree my team's the best here.
All right, it's not a competition, but probably. Yeah.
I mean, the other team that I mentioned that I had, which was one from each.
Before we get to that, I know you're dying to say this team. But before we get to that, we want to ask, where do you think this team would finish in the league?
Read it out to us again.
So we've got...
Where yours would or where ours would?
No, where mine would. So Mark Gillespie in goals.
Mm-hmm.
Back four of Stephen O'Donnell, Ricky Lamy, Peter Hartley and Andy Halliday.
Mm-hmm.
a midfield four of Chris Burke, Ryan Flynn, Gary Dicker and Johnny Hayes, and a front two of Steve Davies and Chris Long, although I would be willing to swap out Davies for Murray Davidson.
You don't need to do that.
Okay.
Who are they being managed by? Is it you? Or
say it's by an average top flight manager, so... Jack Ross.
No, you said average. I think that team...
I would go with...
Seventh.
I think it's top six.
I would go with sixth, but a very distant sixth. So the top five would be... You know, I would picture them as being the best of
seventh,
a middling bunch.
More points than sixth.
So let me let me put it to you though. So Gillespie, O'Donnell, Lammy, Hartley, Halliday, Burke, Flynn, Dicker, Hayes, Davies, and Long. Is that much worse than
the current Motherwell?
Than Gillespie, Grimshaw, Hartley, Gallagher, Carroll.
But it's
Polworth, Campbell, Donnelly, Scott. Long and
okay. Hilton. Okay. My question to you on this is: who's producing your social media videos? Because that's
it's you.
No, it's me. Yeah. Then you're finishing 11th.
So what do you think? Is that much worse than the actual Motherwell team that who are third place right now?
But they've been adding to it gradually. Whereas what you're doing is getting 11 players and just chucking them in together. So it would take them a few months to build up that understanding.
I've got a clear game plan here.
You're taking them to Gullin Links for pre-season training.
Well, that's Andrew.
I'm going to say, I'm putting this team fifth.
Well it's good to see that you think your team is better than...
I think I've done a great job. I would say that my team would finish ninth.
Okay.
I would say that they would be safe from relegation, but... they would have very clear and obvious errors that the following season's manager would have to fix.
11th and they'd win the playoffs.
Quick question. Who's the single best player on this list? On these lists? If you were in charge of a club and you got to pick one to sign. And you were allowed to have... didn't matter what kind of club you were or whatever. You were allowed... the player couldn't have a say. Had to sign.
I would take Johnny Hayes.
Probably Ollie Bozanic.
I would take Hayes because obviously, you know, everyone knew him initially as a winger, but he's now been not necessarily repurposed, but he can be used at left back as well, so that means that you've then got the two options, so you might have two spots in your team that you're looking to fill or improve upon. I think purely because we've not seen him a lot for Celtic, people have forgotten about just how quality he was at Cali and then at Aberdeen.
That's not a bad shout. I think it's O'Donnell. One of the goalkeepers. Yeah. We've never mentioned Wes Fodenham as well, who's also in contract.
Yeah. I think what goes against O'Donnell has just been a fullback. This is not something to get excited about. Whereas Hayes has played fullback, but is more normally a left midfielder. But yeah, he's probably the pick of the bunch.
Right, Gary, finally give us your team before
we
move on.
So I've got one
for me. Your team would go up against my team.
I suppose it would, yeah. So read out your team again.
Vladke, McGowan, Dunn, Hayes at the back. A midfield
of
Burke, Slivka, Holt, Ross, Lawless, Dray Wright behind Steve McLean.
How can you claim you put much time in this?
So what team did you miss out of that? Because whichever
Ross
team,
County.
Ross County, right. So you've got Kettlewell and Ferguson
managed by Kettlewell and Ferguson.
So I've got Wes Fodenham in goals.
Right.
Back four of Ricky Foster, Johnny Hayes, Peter Hartley and Clever Dicamona.
He's winning already.
A midfield of Dray Wright, Stephen Lawless, Gary Dicker, and Vikinta Slivka.
And I don't like the centre two, but.
Front two, Mikael Miller and Cody Cook, and they are managed by Derek McInnes.
Kind of falls apart with following the forwards you get, but yeah, that team stayed up. Duncan's team is not.
If this was.
It's going to stay up in the playoffs, guaranteed.
No, they're going to get beat by these guys on penalties.
Battlers.
That defence you've got is horrific.
Horrific. Or exciting.
No, horrific. It's worse than the Rangers back three that ended the 5-1 game against Celtic, where the back three was Lee Wallace, James Tavernier and Joey Barton. It's worse than that.
And now Duncan's been put in his place.
Okay, let's move on, shall we? Before we get to the next game in our Scotland countdown, number 41, I believe it or not. Duncan. You've done us up a wee quiz, haven't
I've
you?
I've got a quiz.
Oh, it's back. No.
It's back. So it's the same format as last week's Patreon. To those that listened, if you don't, then that's a perfect opportunity to go and subscribe and you find out how Craig Fowler got on against Tony Anderson. Craig won.
very well. Quite comfortable.
Yes. So we've got three rounds.
Tony being unable to name a single Rangers player from 10 years ago was quite something.
So we've got three rounds. Two are name the teams and another is you'll see soon enough.
Okay.
So the round one is from a friendly at the turn of the century and it's Scotland versus France. Took place on March the 29th, 2000. No, at Hampden Park.
All right.
And France won 2-0. So I want you to name the Scotland and the French team. What go turn about?
Players.
You lose a life if you don't get one right. If you get, and I'm looking forward to the starting 11 and players came on as a sub. If you choose a sub not used, then you have another shot. You don't lose a life.
Okay.
Who's going first?
So, who's going first? Gary, you can go first.
What was the year? Say the year
2000.
2000.
It's 2000. Okay. So this is just after we've not qualified for. We've been beaten by England in the playoffs and reached Euro 2000. France have won the World Cup and are on their way to win that later that summer win Euro 2000.
Right. Got it.
Yeah.
There's two players that immediately spring to mind. There's one that's more of a risk, so I'm leaving him for now.
You've got three lives, remember?
I know, so I'm going to need them. Davy Weir.
You lose life.
You've got to be kidding me.
Right, I'll go Christian Daly.
Correct.
Right, Rab Douglas.
You lose a life.
Gary, he was the goalie in the playoffs.
He wasn't even on the bench.
For fuck's
sake. Right. This is like... It's Scotland versus France, Gary. You'll have to name Scotland. You'll have to name just Scotland.
Oh,
David Trezeguet.
Craig Fowler, you lose a life.
Oh, yes. Marcel Desailly.
Because it's a friendly.
Correct.
It could be any bunch of jobbers in this shite. Neil McCann.
Neil McCann came on as a sub, correct?
Yes.
For someone else that I was just about to name, but I won't. Because he's not there, because no one said him so far.
Emmanuel Petit.
Is correct.
2000. So that was, Thierry Henry.
Is correct. He scored in the 90th minute.
I think he retired.
Come on, Gary, you're going to have to be quicker. It's not good audio.
Tom Boyd.
Well done, Gary. You just put Fowler into lead.
Right. Oh, God.
So, the Scotland team that day, Neil Sullivan, defence of Paul Ritchie, Christian Daly, Colin Hendry.
I was going to say Paul Ritchie as well.
I think that was maybe a back three. The back four, because playing right back that night was Paul Telfer.
Ah! That's what it says.
Midfield, Barry Ferguson, Don Hutchison, Colin Cameron and Callum Davidson. And up front, Kevin Gallagher and Billy Dodds. The subs used were Neil McCann, Stephen Presley, Alan Johnson and Mark Burchill. The subs not used, Russell Anderson, John Gold and Gary Naismith.
Mm.
The French team that day, I mean, they had a jobber in goals, Rami, I never heard of them, but Thuram, Desailly, Blanc, Lisa Razou, Ludovic Julie, Deschamps, Petit, Djorkaeff, Dugarry, Henri, subs used, Wiltord, McHugh, Vieira, Pires, and subs not used, Frank Leboeuf, Letisse, Rangers link, and Martin Dejou.
I thought Deschamps retired after the World Cup. I thought like he retired as the winning captain, but no.
Well, afraid not. Right, so now we go on to round two, a chance for Gary to salvage himself with he'll go first again for this. Last week we played Brechin City or River City.
Mm-hmm.
This week it's Son of the Rock or Rock Son. So is this a player that's played for Dumbarton or is the son of a rock star?
Yes, I like it.
So
I can't lose.
Guy Cocker. Levi Evans, is he a son of the Rock or a rock son?
Levi Evans. Rock son.
Is correct. Levi Evans is the son of the Edge.
There you go.
So 1-0. Craig Fowler, Joe Coyle, is he a son of the Rock?
Son of the Rock.
That is correct. He's a wing half, played between 1977 and 85.
Of course.
It's good to see this is just a coin toss.
Harry Chatton.
Harry Chatton. Oh, he's definitely a son of the Rock.
He is right. He's a right back. Two spells at Dumbarton.
Remember him well.
Robert Ritchie. Is he a son of the Rock or a Rock son?
Rock son.
Robert Ritchie. is a Rock son. He is the son of Kid Rock.
Cool.
This is going better than last week. Tom Carson. Is Tom Carson a son of the Rock or a Rock son?
What's a tough one.
Son of the Rock.
He is a son of the Rock. He was a goalkeeper between 1984 and the 91-92 season. Duncan Jones. Is he a son of the Rock or a Rock son?
Rock's son.
That is correct. He's David Bowie's son.
I kind of thought that when you said Jones. Yeah, there's a few options here with Jones coming up.
Kenny Jenkins, is he a son of the Rock, Gary, or is a Rock son?
Rock son.
He's a son of the Rock. Kenny Jenkins, a midfielder from 1968 to 72. Oh, an opportunity for Fowler to go in front here. Sean Kimister. Is Sean Kimister a son of the Rock or a Rock son?
He is a son of the Rock.
Oh, he's missed. Sean Kimister is the son of Lemmy.
Okay.
As you are.
As you are. Gary, Hugh Hara. Is Hugh Hara a son of the Rock or a Rock son?
He's a son of the Rock.
He is. He's a centre half, played for Dumbarton between 1962 and 1967.
That could have gone one or two ways.
They'll all go one or two ways,
Someone's feeling the pressure.
Fowler, Stanley Jones. Is Stanley Jones a son of the Rock or a Rock son?
A Rock's son.
You're correct, yes. He is the son of Nicky Wire.
Oh, right.
So, last final, where this is the last two. Gary, okay. Jim Dempsey. Is Jim Dempsey a son of the Rock or a Rock son?
Tick tock, tick tock. He is a son of the Rock.
You are correct. Which means it all comes down to this. It could be a draw again, or Fowler could miss. This is a design penalty. Elliot Subner, is he a son of the Rock or a Rock son?
Rock son.
That is correct. He is the son of Sting.
Oh!
So that's a draw again. Damn it. We'll have to work out next time and make it harder. So Fowler looks like he'll be on to retain his winning record if he does anything. If you're basically winning 1.5 to 1/2. So Gary can only draw.
Yeah.
That's fine. I don't know why
I'm not. Well, explain that.
Yeah, I know. Richard Osman, I ain't. So round three, name the lineups again. This is from a Scotland game from 15 years ago. It was at the San Siro where Scotland lost 2-0 to Italy.
Okay.
Obviously. I don't know why I paused on whether
it was played. 2-0 to Mexico.
And then I put a note in here saying that a player missed something, missed a shot chance, and that would give you the one straight away. But Gary, it's your advantage. You go first. Can you name three lives?
Come on, Gary. There they are. Stop it.
I'm sorry. I'm just thinking.
Talk us through your...
Okay, so 2005 is what I'm looking at. I don't want to give anything away about what we're looking at in the future, but I'm going to rely a little bit on that for some help here. So I'm going to go with Gary Teal.
No.
Kenny Miller.
Correct.
The player who missed the chance.
Yes.
Yep.
Still furious about that.
Yep.
In goal, Neil Alexander.
No.
Oh my god.
What's even more. No, I'll not spoil it. But
right, yeah, yeah. Andrea Pirlo.
Is correct.
Scored twice, didn't he?
Yes.
I'm going to take that route now because the only success I had in the last round was with French players. So, Fabio Cannavaro.
Is correct.
2005. Alessandro Del Piero.
Incorrect. You lose a life.
Fuck.
Yes. Francesco Totti.
Is correct.
Damn it. Locksmith. Stephen Presley.
Correct.
Gary Naismith.
Is correct.
Right, who was in the fucking... Oh, Bruno Gattuso.
Correct.
You told me no dead air.
Sorry.
I am going to go with my namesake, Gary Caldwell.
Is correct.
Christ. So you said Cannavaro, didn't you?
Yeah.
He was all bloody centre-half. Oh, I can't mind. Fabio Grosso.
Was a substitute.
Oh,
so you got another shot.
Who was the fucking Italian forwards at the time? Come on, they won the World Cup. God, right, Scotland again. Oh, Barry Ferguson.
Correct.
Darren Fletcher.
Fowler absolutely destroys his opponent
again.
So the Scotland team that day, you're going to kick yourself when you remember who was in goals.
It wasn't Rap Douglas.
It was Rap Douglas.
My
boy, he got injured in the 39th minute and Craig Gordon came on for him.
Oh, my beautiful boy.
Jackie McNamara, Stephen Presley, you said David Weir, Gary Naismith, Gary Caldwell, Paul Hartley, Barry Ferguson, Nigel Quasi.
Oh, of course.
Lee McCulloch and Kenny Miller. Subs were the aforementioned. Craig Gordon came on for Douglas. Neil McCann came on for Hartley. And Gary O'Connor came on the closing minutes for Kenny Miller. The unused subs were Russell Anson, again. Stevie Crawford in 2005. Andy Webster. And in 2005, Brian O'Neill.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The Italian team update was Buffon, Bonero, Cannavaro, Materazzi, Chiellini, Camoranesi, Pirlo, Gattuso, Totti, Gilardino, Cassano, their two subs, Daniel De Rossi and Luca Toni. Subs not used were Roma, Zaccardo, Grosso, Blasi and Esposito. I'd gone so far as thought that you do quite well on that, Gary, that I even had a tiebreaker. We'll see if you want, like, do you know which country the referee was from?
No.
Do you want to guess?
Austria.
Czech Republic.
It was Greece. So I'd have given that to Gary. It
was closer. What a fucking rubbish tiebreaker.
Their GDPs are similar.
No,
it
was geographically. Yeah. Czech Republic's closer. But yeah, there you go. Fowler wins 2.5-0. Gary, up your game.
You were only slightly better than Tony.
I'll take that. You've got a few years on me.
Oh, well, I genuinely tried to find out, like, what you're...
You're not exactly 15 on you!
I was looking for... I was like, you're a Dundee fan and a Hearts fan. I was like, maybe you should do one on each side in terms of when you
had... a Dundee Hearts game from...
Yeah, I know, but, again, because Dundee are allergic to good times, it's quite difficult to make some that would be remembered by both of you. So I
hope you're relegated, honestly.
Right, let's continue this Scotland theme that we've kind of stumbled upon on transfer day.
No, it wasn't. It didn't stumble upon.
Okay, Duncan's done well to put together.
Yeah,
I like his team.
Yeah.
And we'll get to the 41st most memorable Scotland match of all time, and that is Bulgaria 1, Scotland 5, from the 11th of May 2006, otherwise known as a match in the Curran Cup, the only trophy Scotland have won in recent times, and will win again.
You never know.
Our first trophy since, what, probably the
Home Nations?
The Stanley Rouse Cup in 1989.
Yep, I would say so. Right, so number one at this time in the UK charts was Crazy by Gnarls Barkley.
Oh,
I checked that as well.
Which spent 9 weeks at number one.
This must have been about the time that Radio 1's One Big Weekend was in Dundee. That's coming back this year. Because I saw him perform Crazy at
the Curran Cup this year.
Yeah, that must be it. I'm sure Japan's actually changed the format of it, which I'm sure we can come on to later.
Oh, no, I didn't know that, so I'm looking forward to that chat.
Yeah. It's not going to be much more than that. They've changed the format of it, Craig.
You said we're going to come on to it later.
Yeah. I was just going to repeat it later.
We're the last sole European winners of the Kirin Cup.
There was a tournament, I think it was in 2011, when the three teams were Japan, Peru and the Czech Republic, and each game was 0-0.
So they had to tie the trophy.
So they tied the trophy, and shortly after that they seemed to change it to basically Japan. So it's no longer round robin, so you wouldn't have had Bulgaria 1, Scotland 5. You would have just had Japan playing Bulgaria and Japan playing Scotland. So it's not really it doesn't seem to be a tournament anymore. I think they call it a Challenge Cup.
Right, okay.
So it's going to be sponsored by whatever the Japanese version of Tunnocks is pretty soon.
And just to go with the pop culture references, number one at US box office was, do you know Duncan?
Nope.
It is Mission Impossible 3.
I don't think I've seen that film.
Everybody here seen it?
See Mission Impossible 2 with Dougray Scott.
Yeah, it's rubbish.
I think I might have
gave up on Mission Impossible. Yeah. But apparently they've gotten better.
Is that the one that's called Ghost Protocol or something?
No idea.
Because it's like Fast and Furious. After you get past the first few, they then just start adding these nonsensical
then they get better.
Titles. I've not seen any Fast and Furious.
Fast 5 is the best one.
Is it?
We're unbeaten against Bulgaria.
Oh, really?
We still remain unbeaten. That was our sixth time we've played them. We've not played them since. And we've got 3 wins and 3 draws.
There was a famous game between Scotland and Bulgaria, which I'm pretty certain didn't make our list. I think I can talk about it, where Gary Mackay scored to send Ireland. It was a dead rubber game for Scotland, but Bulgaria had the chance to qualify ahead of Ireland. But Scotland won 1-0. Gary Mackay scored the only goal of the game, and it meant that Ireland
went to Euro 88.
It was Euro 88, that's what it was.
This has a pretty distinct feature, which is there were 2 debutants... for Scotland.
And they both scored.
And they both scored. They didn't just both score, Craig. They both scored twice.
Twice, of course.
So it was 2 gents who came up, or one of them came up earlier, Chris Burke.
Yep.
Still playing his trade for Kilmarnock. And Chris Boyd.
Yes.
Playing his trade for Sky, Lisa.
Chris Boyd.
Being an arsehole for money. Having arsehole opinions for money. No, he's a good pundit.
It's quite impressive. Chris Boyd is really, you know, there's a really kind of ugly duckling thing in his life, isn't there? He's really kind of blossomed into a swan, looking back at his old photos of him, old images, I should say.
I was telling Gary on the way over here that I'm not going to say I'm directly responsible for how well Chris Boyd did that season, but the previous summer I was in Cavos and we met some of his friends, so I spoke to him on the phone drunkenly one night, and then you see the season that happens to him, so yeah, great. Me, responsible.
I think one of the, one of the great what ifs, it's maybe one of the mediocre what ifs, is what if Chris Boyd had not fallen out with George Burley? Because he actually only picked up 18 caps for Scotland.
Yeah.
But he scored 7 goals, which is a pretty decent return. And if you look back, I mean, obviously there was Chris Boyd
I don't know if it is that much of a what if, because when Chris Boyd played club football for Rangers, he never really played the Old Firm games or the games in Europe, because his skill was finishing off the chances that he was going to get, because Rangers were going to be on top of the other team. How many times did Scotland play somebody where that's the case?
Bulgaria.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Big Kirin Cup matches. Yeah.
I don't think he would have liked
big tournaments. I
don't think he would not have had the. I don't think it was this that. Falling out with Burley was the end.
I mean, he might have lost them 5 to 10 caps, but I don't think we're saying, like, oh, I don't think we're sitting here now thinking, Chris Boyd, what a great international striker.
Well, at that time, Kenny Miller was still playing because
of the Kenny Miller was still playing. McFadden was making his ascent.
Because Miller worked bloody hard up front, chasing the line.
And McFadden was a better player outside the box. And that was Boyd's problem. Boyd actually turned into a not bad kind of player in that kind of season he had with Kelly, where he was basically the only game plan was give the ball to Boyd. Yeah, but at that stage of his career, no, he wasn't there. He was just a penalty box player. So I disagree with you. I don't think it's a what-if.
Well, technically it is still a what-if. You just think the what-if is instead of...
I forgot to read the team. Team was Alexander and Goals. Back four of Graham Murty, who looked like he had a pretty decent game. David Weir, Russell Anderson, Gary Naismith. Midfield, I think it was a sit and two of Gary Caldwell and Scott Severin. Right midfield was Gary Teal. Darren Fletcher, and on the left was Lee McCulloch, and up front was Boyd. The subs that were used were McFadden, Gavin Ray, Buck, Ian Murray, who misses a great chance at the end, makes a complete tit of it, but Buck tucks it away anyway, and David McNamee.
Yeah.
And the subs not used were Rendon Smith, and I'm forgetting who the Smith is. Who's Smith?
I don't know.
Old Smith.
Old Smith.
good old Smitty. Always there for Scotland.
I can get a list of that. I'm going to say...
Stephen Caldwell.
Yeah.
Kenny Miller. And Ian Turner. No, it wasn't Kenny Miller. Sorry, it was Lee Miller and Ian Turner. It's Stevie Smith.
No loss.
There was no Hearts players on the team because they were playing against Gretna in the Scottish Cup final a couple of days later. So there was no Gordon, Webster, Presley or Hartley who were all in Scotland squad at the time. And Robin Olsen might have even been included as well because he got his one call-up, I think, later in the year. Anything to say about the game itself?
I really didn't like that Deodora era Scotland.
I can't remember
that. But it's difficult because it's essentially a friendly in a neutral territory, but because it's got the Kieran Cup, like it then gets some cachet.
Yes.
But it's not a game to get seriously worked up about. Like considering some of the things, I'd not say I'm not blaming the people who voted for this, but I kind of am blaming the people that voted for this.
I think it also helps what it led on to. So Scotland had...
It was a platform, yeah.
Yeah, Scotland had a decent enough ending to the previous group. Well, I think we played that game against Italy we just talked about, and there was a bit of hope that things would be better, but then we were handed this really tough group. We also had two friendlies leading up to this, and I think it was March time. Those were a 1-1 draw with the United States and a 3-1 home defeat by Switzerland.
Hmm.
So it wasn't like, okay, we're ready to now take on the world here. But then the Kieran Cup, they beat Bulgaria 5-1, the draw against Japan. Japan were obviously hosting it, so that made that game a little bit harder. Japan were also playing at the World Cup that summer. And that gives them, I mean...
Confidence.
Yeah, a wee bit of confidence booster. I know there was a lot of players missing, but there was still a lot of players around that squad. Then they start off the campaign...
6-0, wasn't it?
6-0 against Faroes, 2-1 away at Lithuania, and then they kind of got on a roll for there. So it was a help. That's maybe why people can remember it so well. I don't know if it would have cracked the top 50 if we'd then just had another horrible campaign.
Yeah, I think there's also an element that people remember it because it was quite odd in the sense it was a Thursday morning kickoff and stuff like that, because I remember being at uni and it was kind of a bit of novelty of being able to watch the game at like 9:30 in the morning.
There was some weird numbering going on. Did you notice
this?
Yeah,
Chris McFadden was 5.
Russell Anderson was 11, Scott Severin wore 9, and Lee Miller, a new sub, wore 4. Weird. Just weird.
The Steve Davis.
If this had happened now, you'd have been able to get a page out of it. Like, why? Where's Scotland wearing such?
Five reasons why. Has anybody got any research on it? Because I've got research on one player.
The only bit of research I can give you, and I say it's research, it's just what I know, is Gavin Rae, who came on as a substitute. I think that was one of his first appearances for Scotland in a while. He had a wee bit of a, not a hiatus as such, but he just wasn't getting picked. But he is the second last player to be capped for Scotland while playing for Dundee. The one in between being Lee Wilkie.
Ah.
Him and his black heart and soul.
I left out something. I was going to say David Weir. He was captain for these two matches. There's a photo of him hoisting the trophy. It was two of only four occasions where David Weir was captain of Scotland.
Oh,
would have thought it'd be more than that.
Ian Murray still has Kieran Cup winner on his Twitter profile.
Fucking brilliant.
Of course, your medals, Duncan.
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, well, fair play. He's not tweeted in like 2 years, but it's like, yeah.
Right. The player I've got research on is Ian Turner. Now, hands up. If I'd said to you Ian Turner before the start of the show,
I would have thought he was the brother of the Arctic Monkeys frontman. So.
Hull City, that's coming to my mind, but
I don't have a list of all these clubs at hand. He might have been on loan there,
or maybe I'm thinking of a Turner that at one point played for Hull City. Is like
possibly. So Ian Turner was a goalkeeper signed by Everton from Stirling Albion, straight from Stirling Albion. He said that an interview made it his ambition to be Everton's number one and Scotland's number one. He got close for somebody signed to a Premier League club straight from the Scottish fourth tier, I think, at the time, or at least the third tier, but didn't quite make it. Got his chance in 2005-2006 season, which was obviously the season before the Kieran Cup game. He made his debut after Richard Wright, this was the best part of the research, made his debut after Richard Wright badly injured his ankle while warming up and falling awkwardly on a sign placed inside the goal that read, "Not in use." Turner played in that game. It was an FA Cup replay against Chelsea, but they lost 4-1. He didn't make any mistakes, so he kept his place for the following game against Blackburn, but he was sent off in 8 minutes for handling the ball outside the box. So Everton then brought in another goalkeeper to, I think it may have been Sander Westerveld, from memory. He was then sent out, he'd done a couple of loans already, he was sent out another loan, but he kind of rebounded. He was very impressive at Sheffield Wednesday, played 11 games for the Owls, and they were undefeated in that time, and Wednesday were in the Championship. So the future still looked bright for him. Came back the following season, sort of later on that season, he was given another chance by Everton in what would prove to be his last match. Everton were 2-0 up on Manchester United in the second half when Turner inexplicably across, nobody anywhere near him, like a corner in the box, like there's not a player within 3 yards either side, all around him, perfect diameter going on, and he just drops it right at the feet of John O'Shea. Man United get the momentum, come back to win 4-2, and I still think he might have had a, because he, after that he had another couple of loan spells, and he had a very good loan spell at Preston while his Everton contract was running out. Preston signed him permanently, they dropped into League One, but they'd done a decent job, so they wanted him in, and then he just, injuries kept piling up. So in total, he only played 120 times in his entire career. And he retired, I think, summer before last, and this last summer, he was hired as a goalkeeping coach with Tranmere, which is one of the clubs he spent alone with. Just another couple of things to say in that Man United Everton game. It features Alan Stubbs scoring with a 30-yard free kick.
I vaguely remember that.
It was deflected, but still, weird. And Manuel Fernandes netting an absolute fucker to put everyone 2-0. And it was also the game, I think, with the controversy with Wayne Rooney, because he kissed the Man United badge.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
And Phil Neville scored an OG, which is funny, but not as funny as figured out. So he goes to the fourth goal, a guy comes in for the left, curls in a great shot into the far corner, and then he runs over, and I was like, couldn't recognise him. And then all the Man United players go, it's taken a while, like, try to see the back of his shot in a YouTube video, and it was Chris Eagles. From a Ross County legend. Something he definitely didn't do for Ross County. So there you go, that's the career of Ian Turner.
He could have well have been Scotland's number one, given the numbering that was going on in that game.
And,
ambition realised.
David McNamee's now in the Navy.
Is he?
Yeah.
This was something that me and Duncan both discovered, is that there was actually a Where Are They Now article for this game written in 2016.
On the Scotsman website.
Was it written by me?
No.
No.
Okay. If it was you, you better believe I'd be bringing it up.
I would definitely forget everything.
Like, you do know you've done this before.
It was funny, there was another one. I was trying to find out articles in the Kirin Cup in Scotland, and it was an article like Scotland are unofficial champions of something. It was by Joel Skidd.
Yeah. Because this wasn't actually Scotland's first appearance at the Curran Cup. They did play in...
And not the last either. They played again under Burley, I think.
Did they? Because they played in 1995 under Craig Brown.
Right.
And there is also an article on the Scotsman website, again, about the 1995 team.
Oh, missed that.
Which is filled with people that you would have to search your brain long and hard to think of.
There we go, we're just bursting with Curran Cup knowledge. Yeah. So thanks very much for listening. Be sure to listen to us more. We're going to do a What to Watch. We'll look forward to the weekend fixtures, so check out that on the Patreon. That's patreon.com/terracepodcast. There's only, for the £5, sorry, $5 Patreon listeners, there's only been one that's gone up so far this week. That's because I am hoping to do a couple of scouting reports if some unheard of foreign guys get signed in the last day of the transfer window, which, fingers crossed, that will happen, because that's always fun. And I'll be doing them Friday night or Saturday morning, getting them up as soon as possible.
Season review went up, which was a shock when I started listening. I was like, oh yeah, me, Gary and Sean did this.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I forgot that went up this week. Oh, so we've had two this week.
Yeah.
So we've also had the first mailbag went up on Tuesday morning as well. So yeah, and there's loads of content. We've done lots of best 11s of the decade, worst 11s. There's still more to come as well. We've got about six more in the bank.
The Wraith Rovers, good and bad, is very worth listening to. Sean and Andy
on both rear form. And yeah, if you want to get in touch with us, tweet us at Terrace Podcast. You can also send us an email at terracepodcast@gmail.com. And yeah, I think that's everyone. Duncan, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Gary.
Cheerio.
And from me, Craig Fowler, hope you enjoy your football. I actually forgot that for a second, but I had to back my brain.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.